Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
It's your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice Warp.
It's your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
To where they can work from home, make a career out of it. You know, he's worked with everybody from conspiracy theorists to lawyers, actors, you name it. He's even given me a lot of great tips, you know what I'm saying, behind the scenes here at the Murder Master Music Show to help out with, you know, my online game. So I appreciate that. We're going to bring him on. We're going to talk about that. But first, I want to go back to the beginning, you know what I'm saying, talk about his life, where he came up from. And we're going to find out about Alonzo Pichardo right now. Alonzo, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, brother. It's a huge honor to have you on the show because I need these rappers to have an online marketing 101 because so many of them just don't have a clue. They think, man, I'm just going to upload a SoundCloud of my latest song and it's going to go viral. But there's so much more to that, you know, and I wanted to have you on the show. So this is long overdue. But before we get into any of that, I want to talk about, you know what I'm saying, you coming up. Where are you from, first of all?
I was born in Providence, Rhode Island, 1981. Just recently had a birthday, turned 40.
Happy birthday,
and,
man.
Welcome
to the
you,
club,
brother.
Too.
I feel much older than 40, man. I feel like I've been here forever.
I lived
a short period in the South Bronx, early part of my childhood. Spent a lot of my, even when I came back to Rhode Island, I always used to spend my summers down there as a kid to my early teens. So yeah, I'm Puerto Rican, a proud Puerto Rican, by the way. It was an interesting childhood coming up.
Now, Bronx, you know, everybody knows that's the hip-hop mecca. Man, did you get into hip-hop? Did you catch that bug early on?
As a fan, yeah, I don't have no musical talent. Like, I can't rap or nothing like that. But, goodness, yeah, I was a big fan of, you know, Rakim. I think he's the greatest, you know, personally. You know, of course,
yeah.
In terms of groups. You know, you got to love N.W.A. You know, I was Team Eazy-E when they broke up. You know, people chose sides back then. You know.
Yeah.
Goodness, and then you can't. As I became my late teens, of course, groups like The Group, you know, which I think doesn't get the credit they deserve. Bone Thugs and Harmony, I was a big fan, you know. Goodness, and... I like Busta Rhymes a little bit, but you know, I basically had like a specific four that I'd always used to listen to, you know. So
yeah man,
that's you know, back in the day it was just great music. Today I don't know what we have in terms of hip hop. You know,
I'm with you. It's something that's I just can't relate to at all. You know, not saying I could ever relate to Eazy-E, you know what I'm saying, rolling in a 6-4, you know, in Compton.
Yeah.
But you felt that because it was him spitting about his life, you know? Cube had written it.
When Eazy came out, everybody thought he was like a 14-year-old or something. You know, people thought he was like a teenager, you know, when his first album came out. You know, because he looked super young.
I was only 15.
We thought that. We all thought he was 15, you know.
He was a visionary, man. He was, I'd love to see him around today, of course, for his kids. But can you imagine what he would be doing today? It would just be insane.
Yeah.
What he would be doing over the last 25 years.
That man was, if you listen to like some of his, like his last album there, he was prophetic. Like he literally said what was going to happen to everyone at death row. It happened. You know, he was like warning people, hey, watch out. Like what he said, like in that song, what will you do? Like to, I think it was Daz, stay off the next man's nuts and all that. You know, you know, it's like he said things that were literally happening, even with, you know, Dr. Dre, you know, he was, you know, treated like a prostitute and all that. And And then he was. You know, he left Death Row with nothing. You know, and,
yeah, he came over there, made Suge Knight $126 million, and then Suge says, "Get the fuck out," or he left, and he says, "Yeah, you can leave, but you got to take you can't take none of the music with you." But it didn't bother. I mean, well, shit, Dre's a billionaire now, but it all stems from Eazy-E. He's the
yeah.
foundation tree that gave life to everybody from Dre to Eminem. You know, and everybody else in between, Mac 10. I mean, the list goes on and on. Biggest family
tree.
Yeah,
there's some legends right there. Yeah, all legends,
yeah.
too. So they gave birth to a lot of success right there. You know,
yeah.
and, you know, and, you know, if Eazy was alive today, man, it would be, dude would be like the king of the heap, you know? You know, you look back at his old music and interviews, man, you wish the dude was alive because that mind he had towards business, you know, it was out of this world. You know, he knew things. He saw things ahead of time, you know. You know, so
yeah.
a mind like that would have been an honor to have known him, pick his brain, you know, because, you know, he had friends of his thing. He was looking into video games. He wanted to do movies. And this was like in the 90s. This was like unheard of, you know. So now all these cats are doing that now, you know. So it's it would have been interesting if he would have, you know, whatever happened to him, you know, they say he died of a certain thing. If, you know, we all have our opinions about that. But, you know, if he was around, it'd be amazing. Just the business
yeah.
mind of it, you know, of his.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, talking to his daughter, Erica, was a real good thing because she embodies so much of her father. So does Little Eazy, of course. But Erica, she's the enforcer, man. They all say she's the baddest one, you know, that has
yeah.
you know that side of her dad, and she's straight up
mm-hmm.
ruthless. I love her, you know.
Yeah.
But man, you know, we could talk Eazy and N.W.A. for hours. But man,
yeah.
You were in the Bronx. Something occurred to where you were on your own at the very young age. You were still a teenager, if I'm not mistaken. What, if you don't mind me asking, what happened to where you were on your own?
Boy, actually, I came back to Rhode Island, and you know, I was living with my mother, you know, and I came home one day, and my mother wasn't home. You know, there was no one home. And, you know, and it was, I just came out of school and, like, I was there in the house by myself. Then later on that night, an older brother showed up and he told me what's the situation. Like, my mother just took off and left. So I had, like, you know, I'm always a thinker, man. I'm always like, okay, we got to figure this out, not panic, you know, all right, what do I have to do here? So, you know, yeah, man, when that happened, I just had a, find a place to stay because I couldn't afford to rent where I was. You know, I'm 15, you know, so luckily I had a older friend. She had a little tiny apartment, dude, like everything was in one room, you know. And I was like 2 months away from turning 16. She let me stay there those 2 months. And right when I turned 16, I found a little job. No, actually, it was a good job. I worked for the university down here in Rhode Island, Brown University. I worked the loading docks. I did everything in that school. And I was 16, a little, you know, punk kid, you know, and had my own place, but everything went towards rent. Barely had any money for food, you know, and yeah, man, that was, I didn't grow up with a father. My father was the guy I probably saw once every 5 years, and he was $5 for candy, that type of stuff, you know?
Yeah. So you really had to, I mean, survival was something that, like, your instincts
yeah.
just had to kick in, you know?
Yes, sir, had to, because it's like, but I don't panic, man. Even as a kid, I was like, okay, got to find a solution to this, because I'm the type of guy, everything has a solution. There are no problems, just solutions, you know? Some of us, I get it, we panic, you know? That not saying there weren't moments of panic as I lived by myself as a kid, you know, eating salami sandwiches every day and cornflakes, you know, and with my fake leather jacket. And I had long hair at the time, and I was like 114 pounds. I was like really thin. And I look back at that time, I was like, oh, there was moments of like, goodness, man. You know, but I made it through, man. You know, I always had that attitude. You know, we got to make something happen.
Your way up. You know, you were put in a situation you had no control over at such a young age, and you climbed out of that successfully. You know, when you look back at that kid, you laugh, but aren't you proud too?
I am. I think back at the times where you know, like I said earlier, there were moments of where I was like, damn, it's just me here. You know, what am I gonna do? But I look back at the time and I see myself almost from a third person, like, wow, I did this, I did all the right moves, I made my way, you know, and I did okay, you know, without crawl to anybody or beg anybody to go live with them or anything, you know, other family members, or go crawling looking for my mother. You know, I went almost 2 years without seeing her during that time. And it was she never even explained why she left. That was the weird thing. You know, and so yeah, man.
So you literally, you know what I'm saying, it was in full survival mode. When you were living on your own, you know, what kept you going? Like, what kept you motivated to do all that at such a
Wow, what kept me motivated? First of all, I didn't have any options. I had to succeed. You know, I had to, you know, survive. You know, I had to pay.
But I'm saying a lot of kids, especially nowadays, not to cut you off, a lot of kids would have folded, ran to a shelter. Some of them would have even committed suicide, sadly. How did you survive? And you just went straight into, you know what, I got to get paid mode then.
Exactly. And I had my own personal spiritual beliefs, and I know there was always a way. You know, I didn't have to turn to doing certain things to survive. As you know, all of us grew up, you know, I grew up with friends that were in the wrong. But I was never tempted by any of anything my friends were doing. Like, my mind wasn't like that. You know, my friends, I had friends that did certain things just to survive. Yet a lot of them were still living at home, which I didn't know what I was doing certain things, you know. It wasn't like they were surviving just to get a meal on the table, you know. But I had my spiritual beliefs, and I had a belief in self, you know. And so I said, okay, let's make something happen here, you know.
Pure determination.
During that time.
You know, Stallone, when he was, when he was writing the Rocky script, he wrote it in a couple of days, and I believe he had to sell his own dog. He couldn't even afford to feed his dog, and after he, you know, sold the script and started, you know, with the movie, he got the money. First thing he did was go buy back his dog. I think he had to pay sold the dog for $75, and he had to pay like $20,000 or $30,000 to get him back. You know,
I heard that story. Yeah.
But look how successful he became, you know. And it's from similar circumstances, you know. When you're hungry, you ain't got nothing to eat. You get that motivation, I believe. You know, when you go through those difficult times, you know.
Yes, sir.
You're either going to swim or drown.
Yeah, back up against the wall. You know, you got to make a way. You got to fight your way out of that corner. Because if not, you know. Sadly, for some, like you said earlier, some go down the wrong path. Some take their own lives because they feel like there's no hope, you know. And there's always hope, man, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a way.
Absolutely. You know, so you're working, you know, on the docks and for the school and everything, and doing all these things and surviving, basically. At what point in time did you get into online marketing?
Boy, I worked at the school for a good 4 years. Then I did odd jobs, like, you know, working during the, you know, putting up tents for parties. Did some telemarketing. I used to pretend pretend I was calling people. So they told me, like, you know they're listening, right? I was like, I didn't want to bother nobody, man. So I used just to pretend. And, nah, man, like in my, I'll say 26, 27, 26-ish rather, I just started seeing things online, like, you know, simple, like people are doing today, you know, looking up ways to make money from home, right? People are still doing that today. I was doing it back then in 2006, 2007. And I found, you know, like I said in earlier, before we were on live here, you know, I had a lot of trial and error when I first started because I didn't know nothing. I just thought about, oh, I got to join an opportunity or a business, you know, be affiliated with a business and to make money. So I lost a lot of money in the beginning. Like I said, I joined like an air purifying company where I was stocking up. I had a room stocked up with air purifiers where I had to ship them myself. No one ever ordered anything. Yet I kept I think I had two people order things, and they were like my brother and a friend of mine.
Wow.
So I lost a boatload of money on that. And then I said, okay, let me take a break here and really focus on how to build something that's truly mine, you know, my own, a service, you know, and also finding a good opportunity that I can legit, you know, affiliate myself with and make an income, an established business, which I did that. I found a great company out of Phoenix, a health and wellness company. Been with them, 2009 to present day. Also, during that time, I said, okay, I want to learn. I kept learning, and then, you know, I learned how to create websites, and I learned marketing from a mentor I had at that time, where me and him built such – I learned so quickly from him. Me and him actually worked together for a period, you know, and, you know, and then slowly I broke off on my own because it's not always fun dividing up money, you know, with other people, you know. And,
yeah,
I got into the web design, the marketing and mentoring people, and just teaching people how to, you know, find the right opportunity. And also giving them – I also try to give people tips with the mindset because people just come into this when they start with anything online with a negative mindset because they already think – oh, I'm not going to succeed, you know. When you are going to succeed, there's no reason for you not to, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's been a fun ride so far, and we're still going strong here. April will be 13 years I've been doing it successfully. You know, I've seen so many people come and go, you know, and I'm still here, you know, doing it. Legitimately doing
yeah.
it because you get people that a lot of people fake it to make it online, you know. But you know, I've been doing it successfully. But I, like I said, it also took I dedicated a time to learn as well. And I didn't just jump into it right away, you know. You got to devote some time to learning, doing this the right way, you know, creating your own service or finding something to be affiliated with a company rather. And there we go, you know, from there forward since 2008. So,
yeah, that's amazing. Cause a lot of people, like you said, they'll give up and you'll see the commercials on YouTube videos, like some guy
yeah.
talking about marketing your products and stuff. And there's a million of them now. It's just like the podcast game. There's a million podcasts, oversaturation, so to speak. How do you stand out from the rest, and how do you let people know that, hey, I'm the real deal here?
That's it, brother. Being yourself. That's the way you stick out. Being yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to mimic anyone. Keep doing your thing. Just to say, you know, with you, you know, I was a fan of your. I've been a fan of your podcast for years. You know.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, legitimately, it isn't. You know. You know, going back when you were interviewing Jerry Heller, those interviews were great, you know, because that man had a great business mind as well.
Yes.
Sadly passed away,
visionary.
You know, which Yeah, I was sad about hearing him passing away because there was another video on YouTube where he just broke down the music industry. Like, it was incredible. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by that. The facts. I'm always fascinated by the business end of any big, you know, whether it's music, whatever you want to, you know, the NBA, you know, stuff like that. I'm fascinated by the business side.
People behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Jerry Heller.
I like the behind the scenes. Yeah. You don't necessarily have to be in the front because you know how it is, man. It's the people behind the scenes that are getting the lion's share of the money, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by that. You know, but I think also you should also teach those that are doing the groundwork for you as well. You know what I mean?
Help people become part of what you're doing. That's what I've always done with the show. I've always tried to take input from, you know, the fans. You know, some of them became co-hosts, you know. XJ, of course, you know, for several hundred episodes. We had Pittsburgh Pat on for a while. And then we got this guy over here in France, DJ Lord Sinister. I'm going to bring him on because I know he's got some questions for you. How you doing, Sin?
Yeah. Hi, Scott. And, hi, Alonzo. Yeah.
How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm fine. You're coming from the Bronx, so you got the serious hip-hop history over there. You got Grandmaster Caz, DJ Kool Herc, like Melly Mel, Slick Rick, Fat Joe, you got a Lot Finesse, and so on, Chilla Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet them sometimes or something for marketing for them back in the day?
Do any hip-hop
marketing? I never... I had a couple of hip-hop, like maybe three hip-hop artists reach out to me. But they were like, it's funny because two of them were very successful. I'm not going to say their names. But they try to lowball you. You know, they want to negotiate prices. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's something I don't do. I don't negotiate prices. You know, I'm like, always come back when you're ready, you know, and I'll help you. But in terms of when I lived in the Bronx, I only seen like two rappers in my period down there in person. This rapper back in the day, I don't know if he's still around, his name was AG, and it's also I seen ODB once in person,
wow.
Crazy. Because he was
what
out
was
of
that?
His mind. Yeah,
you got to tell us about that encounter.
I was just out just walking around, and I hear all this commotion. It's just this dude that was just, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but he was he was on something. He was out of his mind, you know. But people,
yeah,
you know, were surrounding him. Of course, I knew who he was, you know. But this was like just when they were coming out, you know. But I think I think his first album may have came out. So
yeah,
you know, he just had a boatload of fans. There were like women around him, and dude, but he was he was on something, man, because he was out there that day. I stared, you know, I'm like, okay, ODB, that's pretty cool. And then, you know, I just went on my way, you know, because he wasn't in a position where you could even get close to him. You know, there's just too many people around him. Plus, I'm not a big, never a big Wu-Tang Clan fan, you know. That's why I respect what they did, you know, the success they achieved. But I was never a big, huge fan, you know. So besides that, never seen Fat Joe, even though he was from the same area, or Big Pun, they were from the same area, you know, never seen them. Even though Fat Joe had a store literally like down the street called Halftime, it was called a clothing store, but I never bumped into him or seen him. My brothers did. Two of my brothers seen him. It was like normal to see him, but I never crossed paths with him at all.
He's still around
doing this thing.
Yeah, Jim
Dolo.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
Mm.
Yeah, and
Grandmaster Caz. Yeah. There's many legends from the Bronx, you know. Goodness, KRS. You know, that's basically where it all came from. you know. So yeah, it was people back then were always with their radio in the park and stuff like that, you know, and blasting LL Cool J or, you know, so it was definitely a good time because it was real hip hop, but it isn't what we have today, which is, I don't even know what it is, you know.
Yeah, it's a foreign language from a different planet. It's not even audible anymore. You know what they did, though, Alonzo? They stripped away the elements of hip hop, the core elements. They took away, you know, the DJ, you know, and when they did that, that was a huge part of hip hop. Then they took away, you know, the art of lyricism, you know, and you know they introduced mumble rap or real simple lyrics, and mainly made the hook longer. That stuff is just to me, it's just horrible. If you had like a little yachty type guy come to you. If you had somebody come to you with some type of shit like that, wanted you to market it, you not liking it and stuff, would you put that to the side and say, you know what, this is business, so I'm going to market it? Or how would you even approach that
situation? I would pass on it, bro, because it's like in terms of music, the music of today, the hip-hop of today, I would pass on it because I think it's a fad. It's not going to last long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The hip-hop we have today, it's not going to last long because you're seeing it, man. You're seeing the nostalgia is big now. You know, so even these young 20-year-olds, they're discovering Wu-Tang. They're discovering Bone Thugs and Harmony. They're discovering Rakim. You know, they're discovering Nas, you know. So that hip-hop is having their little period now, which is what, maybe the last 5 years. But it's slowly on a decline because people are starting to notice, okay, first of all, people snap out of it, like, what am I listening to here, you know? There's no words. Yeah. It's just someone mumbling to a beat, you know? And, you know, it's an odd music, but, you know, it's just because it's no lyrics to it. It's just like, it's hard to explain. I'm like, it's like,
I don't see how, it can be entertaining. But then again, you know, people said the same thing about our stuff. But our stuff, when we grew up, it was
different, man. Yeah.
It was real.
You know, you had lyrics, you had people that were just iconic, you know, who became iconic, who remembered to this day. You know, these cats you see today, they're not, are they going to be remembered 20 years from now? I think they're going to be remembered as just that being a horrible period for hip hop, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, so it really for everything, man.
I hope they're all saving that money, you know.
Yeah. What you know what I'm saying? What about like have you ever done any like podcasting yourself or anything like that?
I did one with a friend of mine who's a travel blogger. It was successful, but, you know, my schedule, I got too busy. I only got to do 14 episodes of it. And I haven't done one in over a year, and I just let it. It's there. You can find it. It's chopped full of the long form, just marketing tips, me and him bouncing off of each other. We're good friends, so it was like a great back and forth, you know, because we've been in this for a while. Him with his travel blogging, and he's a great blogger. He's a great teacher at teaching people how to blog and stuff like that the right way. And, you know, with me, I come from all spectrums in terms of being online. You know, I'm involved with web design and marketing. I mentor people. I've been affiliated in network marketing. I'm affiliated in network marketing successfully because, you know, almost 90% of the people that get affiliated or get involved in network marketing, they fail because if they don't see money within that first month or two, they panic, you know, and they give up. Not knowing everything takes time. Nothing is overnight, you know. And, you know, a lot of these opportunities, you also have these what they call uplines, which is your, you know, people that are above you who are supposed to help you, you know, and they don't do that because they're kind of like power recruiters. They just want to rack and stack, get that bonus, and they don't give a damn if you make any money. You know, they'll just rotate you out and replace you with someone else. You know, with me and my, when I, the company I am affiliated with, I help people that are underneath me how to market and promote and build
mentor
it the
them,
way. Where, you know, and like I said earlier, very few of these people in these network marketing companies, they don't help their downline. They can care less if you make money. You know, they just want to keep you hooked, make sure you're buying your products every month and stuff like that. Well, with me, I found a legit company that's been established since the mid-'80s, you know, and they had that affiliate network marketing side that I became affiliated with. And even with them, it took time, but point where to this day, I'm paid biweekly by them. I really don't promote it because I'm established, you know, with them. I'm just dedicated more really now to mentoring and helping people, you know, especially with this whole COVID, you know, everyone wants to, you know, is seeing the importance of building something that's yours, that's your own, you know, instead of going the whole route of working for someone, you know, being told you can only make such and such every now, you know, such and such amount an hour. You know, there's a hunger for that now more than ever. Because, you know, people are seeing, wow, you know, life is short. Let me follow my passion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
let me just, you know, make enough to keep things going and enjoy life while you're doing it. That's the main goal for all of us. You want to enjoy. You don't just want to pay the bills, but you want to enjoy life too. You know, you want to have fun. And being your own boss allows you to do that. You know, you're able to actually take time out and do things. And your hours are always up to you. Sometimes, you know, I might be up at 2 o'clock in the morning getting things done, you know.
Same here with me, man. I have the freedom, like, okay, I'm going to take the next 3 days off if I wanted to. But, you know, when you, even when you get your own thing going where you're the boss, you know, you become like at least with me, you know, you enjoy the work and you become a workaholic sometimes.
Yeah.
Where you got to remind yourself, okay, let me take a break. But like I said, you do have that freedom, picking your own hours or wanting to work 2 hours today or, you know, and stuff like that. Once you're established, you know, and whatever you're doing, whether it's your own services or you're affiliated with a company, you know, you have that freedom, you know. So that's the beauty of it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about the freedom, you know. Now, when you talk about, like, helping somebody, you know, how do you know, like, who's worthy of your sensei-ship, so to speak?
Oh, goodness, you see it, you know? I'm an observer, man. Even online, you know, Facebook, you know, you and I are connected, I think, pretty much on every platform. You know, and you see it. You know, this, you see those people that stick out, man. They really want to get something going, you know? And you're like, and there's been people in my time online where, who I've gone out of my way to reach out to and, like, hey, if you do this, if you do a little tweaking here, minor things right here, you'll see growth. You know, and some of the people that have taken my advice, they've seen it, and they come back, hey, that worked. I'm like, well, yeah, of course it worked, you know. I've been doing this for a while, you know, so it works, you know. And but there's people, like I said, they stick out and they get your attention. Because there's some people that got great content out there, whether it's a website, but they're on the wrong platform. They're on Wix instead of being on WordPress. Or they got a great podcast, but, you know, the sound is awful. You know what I mean? Or something like that, you know? Or certain things could be, you know, just the slightest things of tweaking will make that podcast or website stick out more, you know, where they start getting that traffic and attention they deserve for their hard work, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, man. You kind of peer in the window a little bit and see what they're watching on TV and let them know how they can improve the quality of the experience in a weird kind of way to analyze it, you know. Like, well, hey, man, you need surround sound speakers. You need first, you need to get rid of this 1952 black and white television, you know, and upgrade them a little bit. Let's take a break. You know, since you mentioned Easy E, man, I got a plethora of songs on here. I actually have What Would You Do? You want to go to that one?
Yeah.
For the
Hell yeah, that'd
fans?
Be cool, man. I love that song.
All right. This one goes out to Snoop Dogg. We'll be right back with Alonzo Pichardo, Murder Master Music Show.
Inside the minds of real G's, Death Row is looked upon as the studio gangsters of the 90s. A joke in a game called 5 minutes of fame. You wasted 4 minutes, now you got seconds left. Kick it.
come on and let me ride, nigga. Easy CPT, how the hell you figure to be the best on the west? What will I do? Let's see. Now I would take out Sugar Top down the road. Since Dre is a bitch, pimp slap that hoe.
Baby.
Now I'm seeing doubles, old man, two dogs in a huddle. Oh, goddamn. Now diggity diggity dance, I'm biggity biggity blast. Don't want smoke that ass. Now corrupt, don't even set trip. Yelling long beat six, so blood and puppy pound grip. Really dope. On your chin while I'm all in your silly hole. So come with it, fool, and test that luck, and I beat that ass. Now call me corrupt. Now I'm creeping through the fog. Yeah, bent off blue. Got my 9 mm killer hunting all named Snoop. You can run, nigga, but you can't hide. Easy E straight creeping on the east side. 710 Long Beach South. Bob Snoop free basing in a rock house. I kicks in the dough. I said it before. I never let no busters test me no more. Murder was a case that they gave me. Murder was a case that they gave me.
I smoke all you fools, even your boo-boo and your baby.
Watch out, man.
Watch your back.
Watch your back.
Yeah. What would you do? What would you do if we rolled on you?
So
what would you do?
Goodbye.
What would you do if we rolled on you? What would you do? What would you do if we rolled on you?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Goodbye.
What would you do? Dirty Reds, I comes on the sneak, hitting niggas low with the caviar's flow. As I creep through the street, peeping niggas from death row. Bet you I know which one of y'all make the best song. So let me break it down as I'm lost in the mist. Take word of advice and don't come fucking with this. It ain't a joke, niggas choke from the smoke that I blaze. Purple haze, you'll be dazed in the sun. I put you on your back, nigga, what? I am the gut. In a doggy dog world, I never hung with much. Only nuts in the clip and dick in your mouth. The year is 95 and I'm running the house. So tell me, what can you do? Nigga, what can you do? Nigga, what could you do if me and a few of my homies came through? Dumping real on you trick made, bitch made niggas. What could you do? What could you do if we rolled on you?
Yeah, so
what would you do?
About.
What would you do if we rolled on you?
House.
What would you do? What would you do if we rolled on you?
Yeah, so
what could you do?
About.
What could you do if we rolled on you?
House. Dr. Dre, straight buster, never broke a law in his life. Besides, beat on Ricky Harris's wife. Snoop Dogg. From a high-top fame to sporting braids, now he's laid. Fame, no fortune, and getting played. Not paid, played, treated like a prostitute. And we all know who's doing the pimping. Dad, don't be a follower, be a leader. Stay off the next man's nuts. Corrupt, the kingpin. Stick with the 6-0s. You don't need those other hoes.
yeah, shout out to Easy, man. We gotta, that song goes on forever and ever. We gotta wind that down a little bit. But speaking of Daz and Snoop and Corrupt, I just reached out to Daz for an interview, and he told me, he's like, I charge for my interviews. I told him, I said,
really?
Never pay. Yeah, I says, I never paid for one in my life. I says, stay blessed. He says, you too. We just kept it moving, you know? So that's,
wow.
A lot of these guys, Cameron told me the same thing.
He needs
thing
some
before.
Money, probably.
Yeah, Cameron said the same shit. Cameron's like, I charge.
He needs
for
some money, too. He needs a. Didn't he wear like a pink fur coat back in the day, that cat? Cameron? He was always wearing pink.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew there for,
yeah, he was all, him and
yeah, that,
Jim Jones.
The whole mace and Puff Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Whack, dude.
Real
whack.
All
whack.
I couldn't get
Biggie
into
was,
that stuff.
Biggie was good, man. Like, I really. Biggie was good, man. I was kind of not really paying much attention to him, but I respected it, you know, because that's pure New York hip-hop, the way he sounded, you know.
Well, I loved
kind of the last of that.
Flow on Notorious Thugs with Bone. That was great. Great record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's funny because when they talk about that song, right, in interviews, they always talk about how big Biggie was, yet Bone Thugs in that time, I think they've already sold like 20 million albums by then already. You know, they dropped already the first EP, you know, Creeping on a Come
Up
in
1990. They were at least 4 or 5
Yeah, they were way
total.
Above him sales-wise, but they compare, like, they make them seem smaller than Biggie. When Biggie was honored to, like, to work with them during that time. Because when he did that last interview with that dude Joe from Rap City, I think it was.
Joe Clair.
Yeah, Joe Clair. Yeah, the basement. He kind of mentioned it. He was like, oh, man, I was so excited. I'm so excited to work with these cats, you know. And yet they make now, you know, 25 years later, they just make it seem like Bone was beneath, like, a lower-rung artist, you know what I mean, when it was the opposite in terms of sales back then, you know.
Well,
but,
for years,
you know, he,
they they only mentioned Pac and Big. They never really talked about Easy. I guess didn't talk about Easy because of, you know, the whole AIDS thing. But they should have, because without Easy, there would have been no Pac or Big, you know.
Of course, of course, of course. And, you know, it's funny, back then, I remember perfectly when Easy died, dude, because, dude, I was a fan, you know, since he came out, you know. There was, of course, he's getting more love now, of course, but I wish that love would have been shown to him right around when he passed. You know what I mean? Because really there weren't, like, there were a couple of cats, like MC8, cats like that, that did their, like, little tributes in the videos, a couple of videos they made. Goodness, BG Knockout, he always, like, you know, cats like that, but. You know, that was a handful at the time. And it could have been because of the whole AIDS thing. But it doesn't matter, man. That dude was like, he helped so many artists along the way. I don't know why that love wasn't shown to him when he passed. You know what I mean? Because I don't remember seeing that many tributes or him even being mentioned. But, of course, now he's always mentioned now because I guess people see, like, wow, he really was. But, you know. You know, a lot of those cats are, I think a majority of them, they mention Easy or they praise him. You know, I think a lot of it comes from a place of fakeness, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because where
those,
were you?
They weren't real
where
fans
were you back then?
Alive.
Yeah, it's because he's popular, you know? So they're showing love and they loved him and, you know, yet we know who were the real people. As fans, we know who were the real people that really loved him. Like, you could yell, that guy was there to the end, you know, DJ Yella. Goodness, Bone Thugs, they back then at the height of their success, they were always mentioning Easy, you know.
Cocaine, Cold 187.
Yeah. He did that tribute song for him, you know. It was for the E, you know. Yeah, you know, but, you know, so I always look back at that, okay, it's cool what the love they show him now, but right after he passed, like, there wasn't really that many rappers shouting him out like he deserved. You know what I mean? Or mentioning him or showing him the love that he deserved. You know, especially
like
for
MC Ren.
MC Ren was quiet.
Yeah, real quiet.
MC Ren was quiet. He didn't say much.
You think about Shock of the Hour, several times.
Yeah, Shock of the Hour.
Trenchy.
Yeah.
That was a classic.
And to do this, MC Ren is another guy in terms of just going to the hip hop side of it. In N.W.A., he was my favorite, like out of all of them in terms of lyrically. Where Easy was like by himself. You know what I mean? In terms of fans, like he was apart from the rest. But to the rest, you know, to me, MC Ren was like the best. He was better than Ice Cube to me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, he was at that, you know, lyrically, he was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know, what pissed me off about that movie that came out, which was so inaccurate, I don't think the actor who played MC Ren even spoke, you know, in the film.
No, not at all.
And he was such
they didn't talk about his solo album. Nothing.
That dude was like, I think MC Ren was like the heartbeat of N.W.A. because he brought that ruthless energy. You know what? You know that energy that's just embodied ruthless. And to me,
you don't hear nobody
that
does it other than Ren.
Yeah, and that was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Eazy-E's boy. You know, like Eazy-E knew him from when he was a kid. You know, he was always following Eazy-E around and shit. So. I don't know why that cat is not recognized like he should, because he was the best, better than Cube. Because where Easy, he was more like, he was the embodiment of N.W.A., but we all knew Easy didn't really even want to be a rapper, you know? He wanted to be like behind-the-scenes type of guy, you know?
MC Ren in the Shock of the Hour, he was against the industry. That was maybe he would shut him up.
He was soured.
Yeah, that was a great album. That was a great album. Yeah, but even Dre, you can't really consider him a rapper either. Could you? No.
People write
Dre
his
was
rhymes.
Even,
yeah.
I think, yeah, he had everyone, like other people wrote his rhymes. He was more like the producer extraordinaire genius. So, you know, like.
Rhymes come from the DOC, really, pretty much.
Yeah, and I've seen videos of the DLC complaining he was never even paid by Dre properly, you know, and you know he had his beef with Easy. Now he loved Easy, which was funny when he was always dissing him back in the day, you know, after N.W.A. broke up.
He was the guy that brought Suge around. It's fucked up because to me, I thought the DLC was one of the best lyricists of all time. You know, prior to his accident, of course.
To that voice in the accident.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I always listened to the first song he released, Getting Funky. You know, that was like, that's just a great song, man. That song alone. The whole album was perfect, man.
Yeah.
The grand finale at the end.
Do it better. It was platinum. It was another ruthless
platinum
album.
I remember buying that cassette, dude. I was like 10.
Yeah, I had the 10
years old.
I had the actual cassette single, man. It had the King of Kings and Lord of Lords statue in the background.
In the back. Yeah.
You know?
And dude doesn't age either. He looks the same.
doesn't age at all. His voice will come back
crazy.
And kill it. If you want an album that sounds very similar to him, not saying the beats are similar to Dre, some of it was actually probably done by Sir Mix-a-Lot, group out of Seattle on Nasty Mix Records called Criminal Nation, and they had an album in 1990 called Under Pressure. The main rapper on that, the guy who did the majority of the music, sounded just like the DOC. So anybody listening out there, go pick up that album, Criminal Nation, Under Pressure, I believe it's called, or no, Release the Pressure. That's what it's called, Release the Pressure, by Criminal Nation. Get that album, and you tell me if that doesn't sound like the DOC. You know what I'm talking about, Sin. You've heard them guys.
Yeah, Helter Skelter, very underrated tour for the DOC.
Helter Skelter?
Helter Skelter, yes, sir.
Erotic D, I think his name was. He did a lot of the raps on that album. But DOC was actually rapping on that album with the voice that he had after the accident. So that was, I thought that was dope that he did that. I mean,
yeah.
To show that he had balls, integrity. You know, hey, I'm gonna give it a shot. He left Death Row, left Dre. Every, you know what's crazy? They all left Ruthless, right? And they all kind of, you know, except Cube went his own way. But I mean, like Dre and DOC, Michelle A and everybody, they went to Death Row. And then when Death Row imploded, they all went separate and even separate from each other. Like Dre and DOC split up for a while. Dre and, you know. But hey, I don't want to turn this into a Ruthless Records roundtable here.
Nah, it's fine, dude. I go back with all that too. Me and you've had conversations about that. But that's it's like it's, that song you just played. What would you do is prophetic there at the end, because literally what he says about each of them at the end of that song happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's crazy, you know. You got people trying to charge you for an interview. You know. It's supposed to be so many albums, you know?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's just like a Vlad. You know, you got people, they'll run to him.
You mean Val?
You know
Val?
Yeah, Val. They'll go on Val's couch, and praise him and kiss his ass. But the majority of the people in the streets, they look at Vlad as a police officer, you know? You just had Doggy Diamonds come out on Revolt TV and the Drink Champs say that Vlad, you know, he's sick of Vlad interrogating people, you know. We've been talking about that for years during the show, too.
Vlad asking questions is weird. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
At first,
he gets at me once
out,
in a while. He'll contact me, you know, wanting a contact for a guest, you know.
At least,
and I won't give
when he uses your... When he uses your content now, he credits you now, at least, you know?
How that happened? This is a funny story. Okay, the first two or three times he put our stuff up there, there was no mention of us at all. It was just like whatever the content was, and that was it. And I was like, okay, I had to get on the Facebook and whatnot and be like, guys, I need you to hit this article. And we were hitting them from everywhere from fucking Brazil to Iran. You know what I mean? And everywhere else in between. And, he knows to credit us now. You know, Sir DJ for that. Glad, yeah. He knows to credit us. I mean, I don't hate the guy. I don't hate him at all. I just think, you know, he knows Murder Master Music Show was before him. And he knows that... you know, a lot of the stuff that he has done was after us, you know. I mean, but, you know, it is what it is. A lot, there's, like
I
said at the beginning of the show, there's a million podcasters now, and they all just take for each other. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I just try to do what
I
can and not worry about them, you know.
Yeah, like I was about to say, man, I've seen a lot of your content on other people's channels, and I saw a documentary a few months back, like it was just a whole bunch of your content was all throughout that documentary. It's like, wow, you know, that was not the only channel I've seen. It was a documentary about the death of Eazy-E.
Oh,
I
know
just had a lot of.
I left that up there. Usually I'll go at him. I left that up there, Alonzo, because it was exposing the whole thing.
It
was
very
exposing
good.
The conspiracies about Easy's death. And I believe that something happened, because I don't think AIDS took him out. He went from not having anything wrong with him to having full-blown AIDS and dead in 30 days. He signed a marriage certificate. Supposedly, I mean, we've heard from several people, while he was in a coma. He was given Kemron and was told not to take it anymore. So there was all kinds of different things and stuff that go on with that. But something like that, I'll leave up. But if somebody takes something of mine, you know, you got to hit them with the trademark, man. Sometimes you got to pull out the old trademark and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, what the hell is this?
You want to go to Raleigh, like, hey, you got to use my content. You got to kick some money back my way, you know. It's only fair.
That's what I do. Yeah. I offer, like, I had a channel not too long ago. They took my content and put it in a video similar to, like, the Eazy-E one, but it was about the occult. Didn't ask me, mm-hmm. didn't credit me, didn't credit anybody else in the clip either. So, you know, I hit him with the strike. And,
yeah.
you know, I told him, you got to, you know, they didn't have many views. If they would have had a lot of views, I would have definitely said, hey, you got to break a little bit of bread or that thing's coming down. You've already made money on it.
Yeah.
Because once you get paid by YouTube, that goes in your pocket. You can't say, hey, that's my content that guy used. It don't work that way, unfortunately. You know, I had people... you know, I had one guy, I think he got up to upwards of 250,000 views. And finally, you know, I got him to take it down. But who knows how much money he made off of that. What 250,000, that's got to be about, what, $1,500 maybe? Something like that? You know, it's not chump change,
not
man.
Even. Not anymore, I think.
No,
yeah,
it's probably a lot less.
YouTube is... Yeah, it's a lot less. YouTube, when it first came out, where they were paying people, I think at the beginning they were giving, what, people $2, $3 every 1,000 views or something, or $2. Then they lowered it down to $1. I think now it's like 50 cents or a quarter or some shit like that. It's,
it fluctuates.
It's
a very unstable market.
It's a very odd way of calculating that they have. At the end of the day, they don't want to pay you. And also with this, they got the thing with the super chats. I think half of that money goes to them as well. I'm not a big YouTube guy. I had a channel there that was somewhat successful. I don't even use it. I never monetize it anyways. It's just there to give out free info to people. But it's all way oversaturated where you see guys who have a great podcast and stuff like that. And they're not getting paid for that content they put up on YouTube, and it's like a sad thing. That's why I always try to say to people who have a podcast, tease the fans with a little clip here and there, and get them to go over to your site, start a member site on your own site where people can either see the rest of it, you can charge or not charge. I think in my opinion, you should charge fair, but fair amount. Because at the end of the day, social media is just a branch of the marketing tree. It's not where you build. That's where you tease people, and you always want them to go back to your website. That's yours. You know, you can say and put whatever you want on there. No one can censor you. You know, where YouTube is censoring even comments. You know, so my thing is always, like, if you got a podcast or whatever, tease people with a little clip. And then at the end, hey, you want to see the rest of this episode or whatever, come on over to whatever, you know. And definitely I think the importance of having a membership to your website, especially with guys like yourself who have, you know, this podcast where you dedicate so much of your time. You have these great interviews with legends of hip-hop, you know. With you, for cats like you, you should have like a membership paying part of your website. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because you put a lot of hard work into it, so you should do that. And there's so many ways to do it. There's plugins that are free where you can set everything up, and literally they'll guide you how to. It'll guide you where you don't even need my help to do it. You know, I'll tell you like, hey, this plugin is free, and they walk you through it where you can set up how to be paid, whether you want to be paid on a credit card or you want to be paid through PayPal. You know what I mean? That's hugely important for guys like you, man, with these type of long form interviews with these artists and stuff like that, because you should be paid, you know.
I never even noticed that, man. Thank you for putting me up on game, because I've seen like all these podcasts either go to YouTube or Spotify or what's the other one, SoundCloud. I never thought of, like, hosting, like, the actual interview. somewhere, like and then charging people.
Doing.
Yeah.
Anyone that has a, you know, someone that's established like yourself should have that. Now, if you're some new guy that's just starting tomorrow, don't do that right away. Build the audience, build the following, then do that as time goes on. You know, but definitely you should be charging, you know, whatever you feel is fair for people to hear the entire interview. Like that, you know. Yeah, because I don't believe in just giving away, you know, here, listen to everything for free. You know what I mean? So that's a huge tip.
And just ads.
Yeah, because it's you got to make a steady income.
Monetization.
You know,
YouTube.
You're putting in the work. You got fans that will be willing to pay, you know, whether, just an example, $5, you know, a month, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? And going with the way of Patreon is not a good thing, because they're already involved in so many legal issues themselves, you know, and they get a kickback. You know what I mean? Where if you start your own little membership, that money's yours, you know? So that's a big tip I would give to people that are doing podcasts. You know, and
that might
in
be
the importance
for the Murder Master Music Show.
The importance of having your own main hub, your own website. There's people that are doing what you do, and they don't even have a website, bro. You know, I'm like, what are you? You're just building everything on social media? That's not how it's
well,
done.
Well, all they care about is likes and impressing
three
friends in their circle, you know, or the 15 or even 100. For me, social media, it should just be a tool. I think the social part of it's a waste of time. Because it's just people showing out for other people. You have grown men showing off their Jordans to other grown men. It's ridiculous. Why don't we just, you know what? You know about the show. Why don't you come over here, listen to it. Like you said, get a clip, a preview of it on YouTube. Come listen to the full thing here. What about, let me ask you this, though, too. What about blogs? Can you make money, like, doing, like, a weekly writing, like a few pages or a weekly newsletter or anything like that able to generate revenue?
Yeah, man. You can go the way of having ads on your sidebar there. But there's many ways you can make money with your blog, writing up your articles. Especially you have a background where you worked for a magazine. There's so many ways you can make an income off of that, where, you know, we can probably take up another hour. But goodness, you could get sponsored ads. You can get ads put on your site from companies if they're interested. Goodness, you know artists that are probably promoting whether it's a new what are they using now? Streaming, even though a lot of them are going back to physical CDs, get their band up and maybe get a little kickback from them, you know, for sales, whatever, that came through your website. So there's a lot of little tricks you can do with your blog and when writing, rather, on your website with ads, you know, and stuff like that, where you can make pretty good income off of that, especially if you're getting a lot of traffic to your website, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's something I don't want to give the whole game away for free. Definitely anyone that's interested in learning more, you know what I mean? But it's a fun
give
it's a
them
fun
your
way
website,
of
though, so they can, hit you up. And please don't waste this man's time. You know, he's serious with this. You know, I say that because I know, you know, you've been doing this almost 20 years. I know you've had time wasters. We've all had those.
Oh, yeah, we have we call the tire kickers, you know. They're just there to waste your time, try to get as much, try to lowball you in terms of pricing. You know, like, it's like when you get into a taxi, you don't negotiate the fare. You know what I mean?
No.
But,
absolutely.
And, you know.
No, but going back to your what you said earlier, man, that's a fun way of making money, what you said with your blog, that it's a fun way of learning. Definitely when, definitely something you and I could talk more about because, goodness, there's so many ways you could come at it, you know?
Yeah.
But my main website is my name, alonzofichardo.com. That's A-L-O-N, Z as in zebra, O, Fichardo, P-I-C-H-A-R-D-O.com.
And they
that's,
could
the website.
Render your services, I imagine, you know, for marketing and just
mentoring people as well, or if they just want a website done for them, you know, there's two things they could pick for. Because, man, I'm getting a lot more people wanting to be mentioned and taught. So, yeah, but bro, that's a good question. There's so many ways you could come at it with your blog, with making money. That's definitely something you and I should speak up more about. Just aside from the whole membership, you know.
I always love talking to you, man, because you know, you see my vision. You see what the Murder Master Music Show is about, and what we've accomplished over the years too, as well. So thank you for being along for the ride and riding this out with us. You know what I mean?
What you're doing right now is great. Just a little tweaks here and there can take you, you know, heaven's the limit, man. The sky's not the limit. Heaven's the limit for you and your podcast and anyone that wants to get started doing their own thing online, starting their own services or podcasts or their own business online, you know, heaven's the limit, man. You can do it, you know, trust yourself and success will always come, you know. And just a few tips, you know, here and there I want to give out real quick. Everyone needs to be on WordPress, first of all, you know, WordPress.org. You know, no Wix, no Weebly's, no Squarespace, please. These are no-nos when it comes to websites. You know, WordPress is used by the NFL, Nike. It's a brand builder.
Hip-hop,
you know, it's respected.
Yeah,
you know, it's respected. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's everyone needs to be there. Don't these other platforms are just, it's just so, I every time I meet people, down Wix, like Wix is like, first of all, the importance of having a mobile-friendly site, you know, 90% of searches are done via mobile, you know, on people's phones. You know, it's rarely that you get people sitting in front of their computer searching things out, you know. And the importance of having a mobile-friendly site where it looks good on mobile, on tablets, everywhere. That's very important. You know, also, like I said earlier, finding a good opportunity to affiliate yourself with that'll also, that money that you can make with that opportunity will feed your true will help you, you know, help build that passion that you really have. You know, that's extra money that's coming in, you know, helping you keep doing your podcast or whether you bake cakes, you know what I mean? It's very important to affiliate yourself with some opportunity online where you can make money. You know, when you find an opportunity that's of interest to you, definitely look for a company that has a good compensation plan. You know, be patient. Nothing's overnight. Give it some time to build. You know, don't think you're going to make 10 grand in a month. You know what I mean? Give it time. Because a lot of these companies are great and have changed people's lives. I'm one who can say that for myself. It's all about finding something that resonates with you. And like I said earlier, that money you make from that can help you keep feeding your passion, building your podcast or building whatever you're doing, you want to do online. That's the first and foremost, you know. I would say affiliating yourself with a good opportunity and also getting started providing your own services. Maybe you're already I don't know, you have some kind of background where you already have something you're where you know what you're doing and you want to provide that service online, you know, whether it's, again, baking cakes or you're a cook and you want to share recipes and stuff like that, you know what I mean? You can start that way. You don't necessarily, it's just for me, that's what worked, being affiliated with a opportunity first and then seeking after my passion of web design and mentoring people. But some people, they already have a service in mind. That's awesome. You know, you get started with that right away. And trusting yourself and believing in yourself, as cheesy as that sounds, man, because some people, before they even get started online, they're already thinking they're going to fail. You can't come into anything in life already thinking you're going to fail. That's silly to me. That makes no sense. You know, they're nervous because they think they're going to fail. You haven't even started yet, you know?
Yeah.
And,
you got to be
able to
walk.
This is a COVID situation.
Overnight.
I bet your market now, something service. It's a COVID situation, actually, for the business and the market, actually. How it is for you.
Can you say that again?
The pandemic and the COVID.
What
about?
It's helped this. Has it helped
this whole COVID has helped because you've seen it. You see it. Anyone is online sees it. Everyone wants to start their own thing online. You know, just saying, hey, life is short. Let me seek up after my passion. Let me work from home. Let me build this thing I've always had in my mind online. You know, so. You know, it's the best time is now to do this, especially if you've always wanted to build something that's truly your own, a business online, be having that freedom, making money, you know, and now is actually the best time. I hate to say it because it's such a, you know, we're living in a odd time right now with this virus, but now is the best time to get started off, you know, and I'm not saying it to try to get any business for myself, but it's the truth. Because, goodness, we all have this free time, you know, because we can't really go anywhere, you know. And you say to yourself, shit, I always wanted to do this. Let me do it, you know.
Yeah.
So now it's like one of the most, I think this time that we have where we're having all this time to ourselves, people are having moments of reflection, you know, where they're like, damn, why am I doing this job when I can do this that I've always wanted to do? You know, so now is the best time. And, you know, goodness, like I said before, there's no reason you won't succeed. You will succeed. There's no reason for you not to, you know, because there's many out there that share the same passions and likes as you. And you'll build that following. You'll build that, you know, that tribe, like they say online, where they're devoted to you. They'll follow you. They'll pay for your service, you know. For every five that won't, there's 10 that will, you know?
Yeah, man, that's why everybody right now is doing a podcast, too. You see so many people, like, whose celebrity kind of died down, but then they said, you know what, and they've been revitalized with a podcast. Steve-O from Jackass is one of them.
You
can name hundreds of them. Wrestlers, actors, rappers, everybody's got one now. And it's crazy to think when the Murder Master Music Show started in 2004, the word podcast was only coined a year earlier in England.
Yeah.
A guy had a podcast in England. That's what he started calling it. So here we are, man. The game is wide open. And there's ways to make money. I want to thank you for telling everybody, you know, giving them game. We don't want to give them too much game, you know, but you definitely gave them some good game, and I appreciate that. Because I'm all about seeing people eat and taking care of their
family.
And
that's enough for everyone to eat as well, man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got to, you know, follow your passion, do what you love to do, and, you know, chase the paper, man. It's all about getting that, too. It's all about getting paid for your hard work. Nobody wants to, like you said, do everything for free. Alonzo, I want to thank you. Everybody go to alonzopichardo.com. Before we get out of here, is there anything else you want to say, brother?
Just follow your passion, people. If there's something you want to get going with online, building a business online, or anything, follow that passion. Follow your passion, and you will always succeed. Always trust in yourself.
Absolutely. Alonzo, thank you so much. You take care and you be safe. Sin, thank you for calling in all the way over there in France, as always. And we're out of here.